Hello, and welcome to the Should I Go See It podcast, where every other Friday we take a deeper dive into the one-sentence reviews on shouldigoseeit.com. This week we'll be discussing Civil War, Godzilla X Kong : New Empire, and Late Night with the Devil. I'm your host, Bill George. With me, as always, AJ Rebecca and super producer Craig Stan.
Good evening.
Hello, Bill.
Gentlemen, hello. Did you like the title of that Kong movie?
Yeah, I mean, that was unnecessary to enunciate the punctuation, but
so reading the stage directions there.
Sure.
Why not? Well, welcome back, AJ. Good to have you.
Thank you. It's been a, if I joined last week, the podcast would be like, should I go kill myself instead of should I go see it?
Oh, God.
It was a rough one. I had the flu, like the actual flu, like tested influenza type
yes.
B, which is diagnosed. A crazy thing. Diagnosed. Influenza B positive. It's a crazy thing because the flu, the symptoms of the flu are like a fucking paragraph long. It's everything.
Sure. Right.
First, I was like, oh shit, I have norovirus because it's just coming out both ends. And then I'm like, oh, I have a fever now. And now I have a runny nose and I'm coughing and my chest hurts and I have congestion. And I was like, oh dear God, it happened. I got the flu and I was down for the count. And some of the time I was in a boot because I fucked up my ankle playing rec league basketball the week before.
Oh God.
So I'm now this bloated fucking carcass sweating in my bed with gym shorts on, puking and shitting with a boot on my foot.
Just in the fetal position. Yes.
Doesn't sound good.
Hold on.
Doesn't sound good. I'll tell you what.
No.
Wow. So what stage of recovery are you in? You back to 70%, 80%?
Yeah, but the thing is, Bill, you know me. My 50% is better than most people, 100%, you know?
Oh, okay.
No, I was a I'm awful. No, yeah, no, I come corrected. I'm fine. I'm getting there. Physically, I'm okay. I'm back at the gym, trying to be active, nice. Playing golf this weekend. Mentally, 12%, maybe 8.
Okay.
Maybe 8%. Right. Yeah. My kid's being a real dick lately. It's a lot of stuff going on, but it's not about me. It's about the movies.
That's how kids tend to be.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm swell.
That's great. Awesome.
I'm excited to talk about all the things that you watched while you were sick.
Got a lot.
And that I watched without being sick just because I have no life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it works out.
The Netflix and Bill segment, I have a lot to talk about.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Craig, you okay? Good?
Fresh as lettuce.
Boston bib. Bill, quick update on the 1K event. What do we got?
We have less than a handful of seats available.
Yeah.
We are about to fill that theater. So if you have not purchased your ticket and were interested in joining the Should I Go See It 1000th Review live event, make sure to go to shouldigoseeit.com and click on the live event link in the header, or go to @shouldigoseeit on Instagram and click the link in the bio to get your last shot at getting a ticket. Meanwhile, the posters and shirts for anyone who ordered those have gone to print.
They have.
So they should be ready to go in time to be handed out at the event for you.
All being printed right here in Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, local. Support your local businesses.
This ain't no overseas drop shipping operation. This is handcrafted
in America.
Artisanal quality screen printing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Done right here in the good old US of A.
Bill, I got something to say about the 5 tickets left.
Yeah.
We got a person in our sphere.
Are you about to name names?
And your last name redacted, who listens to every episode. He gives me shit notes about everything that comes out of my mouth. And this guy can't even buy a ticket to his best friend's goddamn live podcast show.
Wow, calling him out. I assumed he had one, to be honest. I know he's a super fan.
Wasn't in the list.
Some people. Wow,
yeah, rattled. Typical millennial troll. You can talk shit on the internet, but you can't come and say it to my face.
Wow. Speaking of things to say at the event, we put a call out to some of the first few folks who bought tickets as a chance, to reward their loyalty and give them a chance to ask us a question, submit a question for us to discuss at the taping. We only got a few of those. So if anybody else out there is coming to the live event and wants to ask a question, you can direct message it to at Should I Go See It. We'll take it into consideration. No promises that your question is used, but we'd love to gather some questions from the crowd to answer as part of our live broadcast.
Yeah, and don't think, if you have a good question, don't think you're saving it for the night of, because ain't nobody passing a mic around this crowd. You got to get your question in ahead of time.
This is a bare bones production.
They will be screened ahead of time. Appropriately. Mm-hmm. But still, feel free to send a question our way if you're interested.
Love that.
All right, that's enough housekeeping.
Bill, what'd you watch?
So a couple things I revisited. As I mentioned in the last show, I got to ratchet down my new movie intake, so I'm making sure I'm hitting 1,000 at the event. Mm-hmm. So my time now has been spent a little bit more on TV, which we'll get to, as well as kind of going back and checking out some old stuff. So one thing I did is I revisited the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr. It's been many years since I've sat down and watched them. I watched them both in like two nights, and man, they still hit. Phenomenal movies.
The first one's a perfect movie.
Yeah, I would put that on my perfect movie list for sure. And then I finished that audiobook about the history of the Academy Awards and the history of Best Picture. And so that kind of got my gears turning around some older movies, and I decided to go back and rewatch Casablanca.
Mm.
That still holds up as well, man. Casablanca, one of those movies that most people, you assume that all film people have seen it.
Not me.
But a lot of folks somehow haven't, or they have seen bits and pieces maybe, but like anybody could watch that today and it would still hold up. So I definitely recommend it. If you have heard the name, I'm sure, but never got around to it.
Yeah.
Go for it. Like, it's still so, so good.
Never seen it. Okay.
And the last thing that's kind of interesting, I got invited to this Netflix preview club.
What does that mean?
So I don't know if it's real or not yet, really. It seems legit, but they will send you, sign up for it through your Netflix account, and they send you screeners of stuff ahead of time as long as you take like a 20-minute survey afterwards about it so they can get feedback. And
that's got BG written all over it. Opinions? Exclusivity?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Checking all my boxes.
Yeah.
The only bummer is you have to like sign an NDA, so to speak, as part of it. So I can't like do an early review of something that I watched here on the podcast. But there's still the element of being able to see something early and provide feedback. So my first one hasn't come yet. It should come in a week or two. I'll get a link with it. So I'll tell you guys off air.
You'll tell me not about it because you sent an NDA. Do they not know you're a movie reviewer?
No, I don't think they do. I think that's just...
You should reach out to them and be like, I'm an influencer and I should be able to review the said production early.
Maybe. I doubt they care.
And they'll say, sir, this is a scam. We don't care what you do.
Yeah. Well, all we wanted was your password and your social, you idiot.
You don't understand. This is a scam.
I'll keep you all, but more on this story as it develops, basically. Anyway, AJ, what is in the news this week? AJ?
Yeah. So, Bill, CinemaCon was this week. This trade show featured a ton of trailers, of big upcoming releases, as well as some announcements of newly greenlit projects. Here's a list of some of the big takeaways from this week.
Okay.
One, the first trailer for the new Michael Jackson biopic dropped, and apparently the crowd was electrified.
Okay.
Two, Ana de Armas's John Wick spinoff called Ballerina was confirmed to include Keanu Reeves. Wild. A Monopoly movie is in the works from Lionsgate with Margot Robbie producing. The Blair Witch Project is going to be rebooted. Crazy. Joker 2 and Beetlejuice 2 debuted new trailers. A documentary about the life of Christopher Reeves will come to theaters in September from DC. Disney showed that Harrison Ford will be the president in the next Captain America movie with Anthony Mackie as Captain America, and Henry Cavill teased his Highlander reboot. So a lot going on.
A lot.
Anything that you're super excited about? Things that you're like, nah, I'll pass? How you feeling?
The John Wick spinoff I'm into, for sure. I mean, I love that universe, and Ana de Armas is fantastic, so I'm definitely into that.
Friend of the show.
We stand.
Yeah, for sure. The Christopher Reeve doc, I'm sure, will make me sob, so I'm looking forward to that. The big question mark for me is this Monopoly movie. Like,
yeah, that
the like go on. Like the Barbie movie. There's like a little head scratch. You're like, how are they going to turn that into a movie? And they did. They figured it out. So like, maybe I got to give some deference there. But like Barbie, at least you have like a character you can build off. Two characters really with Ken.
Sure.
Monopoly is like, is it supposed to be like a race car, a dog, and a top hat, like just running around on screen?
Yeah, trying to win capitalism. Yeah, it sounds like amazing.
Going
it's
to
a
jail?
Fever dream.
I have no idea how they're going to turn that into a narrative. So I guess that's like the one I'm most fascinated by.
Yeah.
But what about you? What stands out?
None of them, truly.
Okay.
It's all shit and it's all just rinse and repeat crap.
You're not interested in what they do with the Michael Jackson movie? I'm kind of interested in that too.
No. This is a situation where real life is 10 times crazier than art.
For Michael Jackson?
Yeah, like the dude was a fucking character. Like it was fake. It was so crazy it seemed like it was fake. I'd rather just listen to people talk about him and the things they saw in real life than a highly produced movie about those stories.
Yeah.
My point of view.
Yeah, the Jackson one is just such an interesting one just to see how they handle the molestation, obviously. Because if you don't go into it, that's a glaring issue. If you do go into it, that obviously, as trying to make a entertaining film, makes it tricky. So I'm just really curious where they land on that line. So I think the molestation
is the only part that's crazy about that whole thing?
Well, I think that's that is going to...
The changing of your skin tone and the plastic surgery and...
Yeah, there's that too.
Addicted to propofol, which they give you before you get a colonoscopy to go to sleep every night.
Yeah, but I mean, we've seen...
Giraffes.
Yeah.
Blanket. Someone needs to make a movie about his life that picks up in like 1990 and just takes us forward.
Like Free Willy soundtrack on?
Like skin color change on. Like, yeah. Let's just start there.
No, they're not, though. I mean, this is going to be...
Cradle to Grave.
100%.
You already know
the people that already
garbage.
Saw the trailer mentioned the fact that it starts with like his mother telling him as a young kid that, you know, you're special or I don't know, whatever the fuck.
Garbage. Bill, on this week's Should I Go See It segment, we'll be talking about three films. The first is Civil War. According to IMDb.com, a journey across a dystopian future America following a team of military-embedded journalists as they race against time to reach D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House. Bill, should I go see it?
Yes. Gave it a yes. Craig and I just saw this, like, in IMAX.
My ears are literally still ringing.
Still ringing. I was going to make the same comment.
Okay.
So this is from Alex Garland, who made Ex Machina, Annihilation, mm-hmm. and more recently, Men. So he wrote and directed this. It is a haunting movie about a potential American Civil War in the near future where California and Texas secede from the Union and form what's called the Western Forces. And then they're basically marching on Washington to depose the president, who they mention is in his third term. So really interesting setup. Like you mentioned in the bio there, the log line, we spend the movie with journalists as they make their way to DC to get the scoop as the war is potentially coming to a close. And so it ends up kind of being like a road movie. Like you're just on the road with these journalists and there's different sort of distinct vignettes as they encounter various things as they cross America. But each vignette in itself is like haunting, and the imagery in this film has to be seen to be believed. Like the world building in terms of making like a scarily real and authentic feeling war-torn America is just a wild experience. Like I'm like thinking back on all these different like moments in the movie and all these different vignettes, and each one was remarkable in sort of its own right. And then you add in the score and the direction, and it's like a super heavy, intense movie. It's quite an experience. I really enjoyed it. It's not the movie that I expected, which is, I guess, the downside of not watching trailers, because I went in so fresh, I didn't know what to expect. But even so, as it is, for what it is, it's really incredible.
A few things. Is it just like one side versus the other side, or is there other like factions within the U.S. that are fighting each other?
Well, that's kind of what's interesting is they allude to a lot of stuff, but they don't get into specifics. And even in the movie, when they're encountering different people, you don't always know who's who or who's what. Like, it's not really about sides or picking sides. They keep it very ambiguous. And I appreciate a certain amount of ambiguity in my movies, but I wouldn't have minded, like, my one knock on the movie, I wouldn't have minded at least a little more detail or context, even in the opening, if they just threw in a couple extra news clips to give us like a more of a catch up of where we're at. They keep it all very vague, which I think obviously is purposeful. I mean, Alex Garland knows what he's doing, and the movie is much more about, you know, creating a discussion and creating social commentary than it is about picking a side or making a super accurate, you know, map of America with battle plans. Like, it's not that type of tactical movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there's no like Call of Duty load screen where it's like the, you know, this team versus that team. And they're one's wearing red and one's wearing blue, and you're like, oh, I know who's who's being in this little.
No, I would say, in fact, the clothing element is like actually a big part of it. Is literally visually identifying who's who, who's fighting for what. Like, is a common theme throughout the movie is nobody knows what side anybody's on, and it's just kind of like a
symbolism.
Yeah.
It is a thought provoking movie. Like, that is the goal for sure. It is a social commentary more than it is some sort of action blockbuster, which you might think based on the greatest movie poster I've ever seen, and some of the trailers and things.
I would say it's a meditation on the beauty of photojournalism.
Yeah, there's also a big element about speaking about the importance of free press and journalism.
Yeah, that's also a big part of it. Makes our democracy our democracy. We're going to talk about that when we talk about the 30,000 hours of TV I watched sick in bed. We get some big names in this cast. We have Nick Offerman as president. We have Kirsten Dunst as our lead protagonist and her husband. Isn't her husband Jesse Plemons?
Jesse Plemons, yeah.
He's in this as well, right?
He's got a small part, yep.
Real life husband, Kirsten Dunst, is married to Jesse Plemons?
Correct.
Yeah.
Whoa, you heard it here first, folks.
Nope, it's been probably 10 years.
Yeah, they've been together a while.
How are they? How's the acting? What are things that you would change if you were to do it over again and you had creative control?
All the acting is great. All the execution of the film is great. He knows what he's doing. Alex Garland is one of the best directors out there. I mean, again, if I were making it, like, I personally, like, was kind of hoping when I heard Civil War and kind of got the idea of a premise of a current Civil War, I wanted a little bit more of a militaristic movie with a little bit more of the background and the strategy and the tactics and what led to this. And, like, I kind of wanted a little more detail in that. But that was not the movie he wanted to make. So as far as... would I take some of the bones of this and make a different movie? Personally, maybe. But for what he did and what he was going for, I wouldn't change a thing. Like, he crushed it.
Well, you always say to get in as late as possible and to get out as early as possible, right?
Right.
And you say that all the time? Yeah.
Yes.
Do they accomplish that?
Big time, for sure. And it's only an hour and 47 minutes. Like, it's a pretty tight movie.
Freight train, baby.
They are selective in terms of when they're jumping into this timeline, for sure.
I would also say that if anybody has even a passing interest in cinematography, photography, just the look and feel of a movie, like, we've talked a lot about cinematography, obviously, over the last couple of episodes, having Maria Ricci on and all that sort of stuff. But, like, AJ, you need to get to this movie. Because, I mean, as for someone like myself who does not often notice stuff like that, like, I don't have an eye for photography, videography, how the shots are set up and everything, but, like, this movie, like, fucking, I was like, damn,
goes hard.
Those are some good, and it's not like Lord of the fucking Rings with, like, sweeping shots across mountain ranges. It's all very, like, right in front of you,
real,
like, on the fucking sidewalk, you know what I mean? It's not, they don't have the benefit of any sort of natural beauty. It's not like it takes place in fucking space. it's just an incredibly, incredibly good looking film, I'd say.
Yeah, it is gorgeously shot and harrowing. visceral, yeah, harrowing, all these words, intense. It's something else. It'll take a year off your life for sure.
And it's the Rob Hardy is the DP on that, and he did basically all of Alex Garland's film. He did Men. He did Annihilation. He actually did Mission Impossible Fallout, Bill. He did Ex Machina. And he also did Devs, the FX show.
Yeah, that was an Alex Garland show.
Offerman, which was phenomenal as well. So he clearly has a good connection with them. Cool. All right. Yeah. I'm gonna try to see that in theaters before it goes away. Definitely. All right.
You should.
Next film, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. According to IMDb.com, two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins in connection to Skull Island's mysteries. Bill, trash? Yeah?
Should you go see it? No. Is it trash? Yes.
Oh, like why? It is why are
so
they
so bad?
Why are they
so bad?
Why are they doing this?
I don't know. And first, poor Rebecca Hall, because she acts her ass off in this movie.
She's a treasure.
Like, legitimately gives a good performance. Like, objectively, she gives a great performance. The problem is, it does not belong in this dumbass movie. Mm. It's like good acting, but the direction and the script are terrible. The only person who understands the movie they're in is Dan Stevens. Like, he's having a blast, which is what this movie requires. It should be a breezy 90-minute romp, but instead it's like a 2-hour lore-filled exposition movie. And whatever fighting there is lackluster. Like, the novelty of Godzilla and Kong on the screen together, we got it in the last movie. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And it's already, that idea has gone stale. And the movie takes place almost entirely in Hollow Earth. So it's like watching a video game or like a tech demo. Like, there's nothing, there's no stakes, there's no emotion, there's no drama. It's all CG fights in CG places. You know what I mean? It's not even like they're not even fighting up against an iconic skyline. So, like, what's the point?
Yeah. How far are we down the like Monarch and spinoff rabbit hole? Like, I'm a big kaiju guy. I love Godzilla. I love King Kong. I've watched basically everything up into this. So, like, I could go into it and be like, oh, shit, they talked about that in Monarch or on Skull Island. I remember that happened or whatever. Like, can a person who's not seen all of these films go in and have an understanding of what's going on?
Yeah, you can go in and have a basic understanding because it's a dumb movie. So it's like...
It's a dumb movie for idiots.
Idiot. You fucking idiots out there, you morons.
But, like, it's just, it's not entertaining. It's just, it's a slog. The humor doesn't land. Even I'm there in like a full opening day audience, and it was crickets. I could have walked out at any moment and not cared a whit about what ended up happening. Like, there was probably a post-credit scene, but I couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Wow.
I left the theater so fast, I left behind a near full bag of chocolate-covered pretzels, which I bought.
Oh, my God. Oh,
I
my
bought
God.
Them at the theater, so that's $27 I'm never going to see again. I had the unfortunate luck of not being able to fall asleep during the second act, even though Lord knows I tried.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's really
Bill,
bad.
I'm so sorry, bud.
Really
that's
bad.
So traumatic.
It's terrible.
Are there any redeeming qualities?
No, none. All I can do is thank God. All I can do is thank God that it was not our Should I Go See It 1000 event.
No,
movie.
I actually think it would have been awesome if it was.
It almost it was.
Yeah.
And then Warner Brothers moved up the release schedule, so we had to axe it for our event.
They needed to get this movie
and
to the people.
Goodness, it was not our 1K movie. Oh my God.
So don't even watch it on HBO on a Friday night?
No, not even that. Okay. Not even that.
All right, moving on. Last film, which might be one of the weirdest films that have come out in the last 10 years. It's called Late Night with the Devil. And according to IMDb.com, a live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. Nation's living rooms. Bill, what? Should I go see it?
Yes. This movie, the main thing I said in the review that I stick by is it is transportive. Like, it takes you away. Like, it was one of those movies for 90 minutes. I lost myself. I was outside the world. I was outside of my life. Like, I was just in the movie, which doesn't always happen. There's a lot of movies that I'm watching, even good ones, where in my mind, I'm like, starts to wander. I think about what I'm going to say on the podcast or whatever. This movie, I was just there. And the reason for that is it opens with like a 5 to 10 minute narrated sequence catching you up, like almost like a crime doc. It kind of catches you all up on it. And the movie's about a fake late night show in the 70s that's competing against Carson. And it's hosted by Jack Delroy, who's played to perfection by David Dismalchin. And so it catches you all up on like the history of the show and the ratings war with Carson and all this stuff. And then it says what you're about to watch is an uncut recording of the episode as it aired with some never before seen footage. And then we move into like, it's like basically a found footage movie, but it's not found. It's like a recording of a 70s talk show.
Wild.
So the movie basically plays out in real time. So that's why like you're just sucked into it, because then you're watching the 70s talk show, which is like 4:3 Technicolor. Exactly like a 70s talk show, like they recreate it perfectly. And then during the commercial breaks of the show, it cuts to like a black and white handheld camera that gets in with the actors and like sees the behind the scenes, setting everything up and the conversations happening behind the scenes. And so it's moving at the pace of an actual TV show. And so you just get swept up in it. And then things start to escalate because it's about the occult and it's a special Halloween episode of the show. And one of the guests of the show is a parapsychologist with a young girl patient who is allegedly possessed. And they come onto the show and then things escalate, as you would imagine. And so it's like, it gets a yes because it is both something I've never seen before and it is executed extremely well. It's just, it's something else, man.
I really want to see this movie.
Yeah, I think you would really dig it. Just stylistically, it's such a cool idea for a found footage movie to just be a lost episode of a 70s talk show. It's crazy.
How does our boy, David Dismalchin, who in my memory anyways, has only ever played sniveling cowards and two-bit criminals and bookies and fucking random street people, how's he do? Leading role.
He's great. He anchors the movie.
Good for
wow.
him.
And for those who are like, hear the name and like, can't put it together, his breakout role was he was the Joker's henchman in Dark Knight. Like that's like, and then he's been a character actor since then and been really good. But like Craig said, he's always
he's
a creep.
The guy who but like gets movie, his fingers broken to like give up information to a crooked cop in every movie ever. Like the cop, you know, yeah. like that's yep. just yep. what he's doing.
No, he is a leading performer. He's the lead. He anchors the movie. He has to play it on camera. He acts just like a talk show host. And then they cut to the behind the scenes stuff. And he's got his own character with layers and background, haunted past, what have you.
Yeah.
And he's great. He's great.
Love that. Bill, why would they release this film in March, April, and not wait until Halloween to get a bigger boost?
I don't know. It's an interesting thought. I mean, it's clearly a lower budget movie on the lower budget side of things. So I think getting distribution in general was a win. So I don't know if there was didn't want it to get buried by bigger movies that come out that time of year or what.
Yeah. Interesting. Gonna be one of your top films of the year, you think?
Maybe depends on what the year brings. It's not perfect. Like I did have a couple issues. One is because of the lower budget, like I mentioned, the rest of the cast is not quite as good. Like it definitely feels like more of an indie movie. Like the Dismalchin is great. Everyone around him is not as good as he is. And so it kind of hurts it a little bit.
Okay.
Also stylistically, as awesome as it is, that 70s style of being shot through like a slightly fuzzy VHS looking, whatever, it kind of betrays the tension in the atmosphere a little bit. Like a lot of times that lower camera quality and 70s kitsch works and helps with creepiness. But then there are other times that it's supposed to be like horrifying, but because of the look of it, it doesn't quite sell it like a normal movie, mm-hmm. quote unquote, would.
Like it's too soft, like it, like the...
Yeah, and like too colorful or something. Like it just, it didn't make it as scary as it could be. Like the movie's just not that scary. And that's kind of my last issue is like script-wise, it's a very slow build, which I don't necessarily mind. But you, the entire first half of the movie, there's basically no scares at all. And so it's all building towards this eventual climax, which you know you're going to get to. But with all that buildup, the climax didn't quite deliver as strong as I would have liked, given how much time we spent building up to it. Like they yeah. should have had, you know, every time they come back from a commercial break, they should slowly like
before.
Ratchet up the tension. They didn't quite hit enough of those notes.
Got it.
So like, yeah, it's not perfect. There were some issues for sure. But again, for my hat's off for the creativity behind it and the execution of it.
Love that. Love that. Cool. Let's move on to Netflix and Bill and talk about all the things that we have watched.
Wow, what a list. Holy shit.
On streaming, yeah. Oh, okay. Can I kick it off?
Go for it, yeah.
I missed, was not here for last week's episode, or the last episode. Fucking Roadhouse was a 9.2 out of 10.
You loved that
I
movie,
was
huh?
so goddamn rock hard torqued during that movie. It was undeniable.
And you were not, palpable. You were not, like, love the original, waiting for a reboot. This is the only Roadhouse you've seen, right? Or did you see the original? I forget.
No, I've seen the original Roadhouse. I just didn't know what to expect. Like, I,
gotcha.
You know, I saw Conor McGregor in the trailers. I saw things online. I saw memes. I saw, like, whatever. I also saw that Jake Gyllenhaal was just an absolute fucking snack of a human being and was like, he's ripped. Like,
animal.
He went yeah. full tilt. And I was like, I'll watch it. One night, we were like, let's pop it on. Man, was that movie fun. God
fun movie.
Damn, that movie was fun. I wish it was released in July. It should have been a summer blockbuster. They probably should have thrown in the theaters too. I mean, Amazon now owns MGM, or MGM is now part of Amazon. They have the ability and the money to do it. Put that shit on the big screen. Get people liquored up in the parking lot. Let's get some fights afterwards. Like,
yeah,
I want to hit somebody after I watch that movie.
The first 30 minutes are just dynamite. Loved
yep.
it.
Yep. I had a couple of knocks with some of the stuff, but like,
yeah, same. At
the end of the day, like, acting was not that great. The way they do tracking, like, they did, there was like this technique people can use where they can lock onto a certain body part, and if they move, it moves the entire frame with that thing. Mm-hmm. And they kind of use that during the fights, intertwined with some not really good CG to kind of like stylize some of the bigger fights and some
yeah.
of the bigger moments,
yeah.
which kind of takes you out of it. But at the end of the day, I mean, just fucking awesome.
Yeah. I bumped on that too. Some of like the morphing that they had to do to keep it as a fake oneer during some of the fights is like, just cut. It's fine. Like you can elegantly do that. You don't have to overcut it. You don't have to Jason Bourne it. But like, you can make cuts in a fight scene and keep it coherent. You don't have to try to fake a one-er every single time, mm-hmm. especially if you're going to have to supplement it with morphing. It felt a little weird.
Yeah. Another Amazon movie I watched was Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah, this is a comedy on Amazon with Zac Efron and John Cena, right?
John Cena, Zac Efron, and Andrew Santino.
How was it?
Not good. I mean,
okay,
it's like,
so should I go see it as a no?
Slapstick.
Excuse me?
Like slapstick college high school humor is the movie, right?
Okay. Yeah.
John Cena is still one of the funniest actors in Hollywood today. His character is insane. Every scene you can tell he's just acting his fucking ass off. Andrew Santino, this is the first time that I've seen him in like a semi-leading role. He did a pretty good job. Zac Efron just seemed like he did it for the check, honestly. Like,
all right, so that's a no. Got it.
Yeah. But
what else do you
John
watch?
Cena. Okay, and then I watched Three Body Problem, which is the new show on Netflix from the D-Bag and D-Bag from Game of Thrones.
Benioff and Weiss.
Yep, and DB WB Mason.
Yeah.
You have more. I think you have more thoughts than I
do. I have lots of thoughts on three body.
I'm going to give you the runway. You want me to? Go. Here's the ball.
Let me give you the pluses first. I think the setup was great. I think the cast is good. I love the scale and the scope, like the ideas at play. It made me think to myself, man, this probably makes for an incredible book. And it made me want to read it. And I legit went to Barnes & Noble and I bought the books.
Whoa. So
they're going to be my summer read.
Educated.
So like that's how much I enjoyed like the concepts behind it. But as far as a TV show goes, oh my God, there are issues.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, the overall conveyance in this show is terrible. Not just in terms of conveying like what's happening in the story, but even the characters I feel like have zero interiority. Like they never explain the whys behind almost anything that happens or any decision. The whole show is like, okay, this is happening now.
Yeah.
And for like an audience, as I'm trying to connect with people and ideas, like I want to be involved in the decision-making process. So like, for example, if you think about the movie Arrival, which deals with some of the same themes, you have scenes in Arrival where you see them, in this case, it would be Amy Adams and Renner, you see them game plan, test, tinker, decide the best course of action. Like you see that play out. Versus on this show, Three Body Problem, the guy who plays the Onion Knight from Game of Thrones, he just comes out and he declares, we're doing this thing now. And that's it. And I'm sitting there as you know, I'm an educated man. I'm a pretty smart guy. And I like don't understand the choice that he makes or I disagree with it. But there's never any explanation or conveying of why. And so now I'm like my investment in the entire second half of the season is undermined because I don't even think it's a good idea. And I'm like trying to talk around spoilers, so I apologize for the vagueness.
The flip side, spoiler. So if you want to skip 15, 30 seconds, you can do it, right? Spoiler would be like, he also, I'm like, hey, let's kill a cruise ship worth of like 400 women and children and men. And I'm not going to think about it. And then you're like, well, what kind of human being, like, how do you get to that? Like, how do you ruthlessly make that decision? Which I guess like, Is that a character building thing? Is his ability to make an action or to go do something without much thought actually part of why his character is good or not good?
I don't know, because they don't convey any of that. It's just scenes of stuff happening. And it's like, and here's the other thing that bugs me about it. Unlike Thrones, their previous show, not all the characters in this are interesting. Like in Thrones, you'd cut to each character. You'd be like, oh, this person. Yeah, what's going on with them? Oh, this person. Yeah, let's check in with them. This show, as soon as the stakes skyrocket, which they do like midway through the season, like the stakes increase exponentially. And then all of a sudden you're cutting back to some weird like human stuff with characters I don't care about. Like after what you just set me up for in the last scene, how am I possibly supposed to care about this scene? Like, The tone's all over the place too. I'll keep watching it because the story is that interesting, and now I will have read the books by the time the next season comes out, and I just love hardcore sci-fi. But yeah, as a TV show, I got lots of problems with it.
Yeah. The big note that I have was the tonal whiplash. But that's the tough thing is like, how do you go from stakes like that affect the balance of like the future of Earth and so and humanity, but to the fact that you still need to live your day-to-day life and the relationships that you forge and the things that you need to do on a day-to-day basis. Like, how do you balance that? They're having a hard time on their characters are doing it, but like, how do you convey that on film without it making sense?
Right. And again, I never had that issue with Thrones. Like the White Walker invasion was, you know, potentially the end of humanity. And I never had an issue when they cut back to somebody else because they did such a good job with all the setup versus this show. All of a sudden humanity's at risk and we're talking about this massive thing and we got to get into like action plan mode. What are we going to do about this? And then we're cutting back to these storylines that are like, who is this? Why do I care? Like, it's just poorly conveyed.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah,
I agree with everything you said.
Great ideas. Hoping the books are great because it seems like
read
they should
the book.
Be.
Chamber of Secrets. Speaking of Saving Democracy, I watched the entire three seasons of Designated Survivor. Oh, now,
yes, this is the Kiefer Sutherland show from years ago.
Yep, it was on ABC, started in 2017. They had two seasons on ABC. It got canceled. Netflix picked it up for the third and final season.
Oh, I didn't
premise
know that.
Is fucking awesome.
Gold.
One of, like, I'm fucking shaking thinking about it. Here's the premise. During the State of the Union, they pick one designated survivor that goes somewhere in Washington that no one knows about. So if God forbid there's a terrorist attack on the State of the Union address, there is one person left from the government that will become president of the United States.
Which is a true thing that they do.
In real life, that's what they do.
Yes.
And this is real?
Fucking they blow up the Capitol. They blow up the Capitol. Yes. No. Yeah. Yep. Yep. We really do that.
Oh, yeah, we do. It's, yeah, it's like the Secretary of Agriculture 1 year and the Secretary of Transportation the next year. Like, they just, they
President Pete? President Buttigieg?
Fucking Pete B. And that's, so this dude, nerdy dude from Cornell, professor at Stanford, is the fucking secretary of the HUD.
Oh, is that what he was? HUD? I was going to say, what was his
HUD
actual
secretary.
Thing?
HUD. Yeah. He's fucking drinking a cerveza, watching the State of the Union cuts. The Secret Service busts in. They're like, fucking Phoenix is down. Like, get the fuck down. And he's like, what are you talking about? They open the curtains. The Capitol building is just
decimated.
Decimated. Bodies everywhere. Limbs. People crying. And they're like, you're the president of the United States. You need to get to the Oval Office now. And you're like, pledge on the Bible right there on the spot. They're like, the judge will meet you outside the fucking Roosevelt room.
Whoa, I had no idea that was the premise of this show.
Bro, the first season is 10 out of 10 TV.
And this isn't just the Dayquil and Paxlovid talking. This is your of sound mind and body.
No, it's 100% that talk. I mean, it's probably the worst. It's probably the worst TV it could be. That first season is gold. And then it gets into that like rinse and repeat ABC episodic 45 minute.
Tough.
Just like cliffhanger, 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 cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger every commercial break. Yeah.
Yep.
I hate that writing structure so much.
But that first season, because they knew they had something gold, and apparently the showrunner left after the first season, and then it kind of died down and Netflix picked it up and they're like, oh, we can like, you know, use suggestive themes and language now. And like, maybe we can spruce it up. It didn't go anywhere. But that first season, it is 100% worth it to watch it because it is that good. So anyways, watch the first season. And the only other thing I have watched too is I watched half of the new X-Men 97 series on Disney.
People raving about it.
Dude, it's really good. If you loved Saturday morning cartoons, if you loved the X-Men.
Sure did.
They basically, it starts exactly where the Saturday morning cartoon ended in the 90s. And it just goes from there. It's fantastic. The animation, it's like I'm 8 again eating, you know, cereal in my underwear.
Or in your case, it would be more specifically the, what was it? The Little Debbie's or something? What was your thing?
Oh, the fucking honey buns that I would fucking put the wrappers under my bed because I ate all of them.
Oh my God.
In this case, it was just like me curled up with like a can of ginger ale and saltines being like, oh, sick. Yeah, it's great. Okay, what about you?
I recently went through a bunch of new Netflix comedy specials, stand-up comedy specials.
Ooh.
So I did 3 in a row. And I'll tell you, for the Should I Go See It's of them, Dave Attell's new special, Hot Cross Buns, that's a yes. Loved it. I've seen Dave Attell live twice, I think, at this point. Like, just howling, laughing. Loved it. Neil Brennan's new special called Crazy Good. Hard no. Did not laugh once. Not a fan. And I usually do like Neil Brennan. I've liked his last couple specials, but this new one didn't do it for me.
Who's Neil Brennan?
Co-writer of Chappelle's Show.
Yeah, and his last two specials were very experimental, and he talks about his depression, and so there's like a mix of comedy and drama and some seriousness to it. Those were very interesting and different. This, he goes back to just doing like a straight up comedy special, just a comedy set, and I did not find basically any of it funny. So yeah, just did not work for me at all.
Okay.
And then the last one was Dimitri Martin's new special, which is called Dimitri Martin Deconstructed, and it does play with the form a little bit. It's in black and white, kind of different. And there's some commentary from him of it while it's happening. It's kind of like a meta. There's a meta element to it. And I thought it was pretty good. I'd give probably a soft yes if you like Dimitri Martin. Not the funniest thing he's done and not the funniest thing I've seen recently. But I got some chuckles out of it for sure. And I appreciated the freshness of it.
I feel like each of those people are... You're either fans or you're not, right? Like, you either love Dimitri Martin or you hate Dimitri Martin. You either love David Tell or you hate David Tell. Like, I think it's probably a little bit of personal taste.
Probably. I mean, comedy is the most subjective thing there is. The hardest to review, for sure. But that's, for me, that's where I laid. No, all of those came out in, like, the last month. So they're all brand new specials, and that's where I landed on them.
Okay. Tickets.
Tickets. I have tickets to see the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare with
dumb name.
Henry Cavill. Yeah, I think it might be a Guy Ritchie movie, or it's a Guy Ritchie knockoff type of movie. I don't really know much about it, but I bought a ticket to it. Abigail, the vampire ballerina movie. Bought a ticket to see that.
What?
There's this young girl's ballerina, and then these like mercenaries are hired to like kidnap her, watch her overnight. I don't know, some weird setup like that. And then it turns out she's actually a vampire or a monster of some kind. And it's like tables are turned, and it's a horror comedy of sorts.
Okay.
It's supposed to be campy and interesting. I don't know. I'll check it out. And then Tarot, which looks like a Final Destination almost type of horror movie. We'll see how that goes. I think it's PG-13, which is kind of a bummer, but...
I still can't drive behind a truck on a freeway that has the logs in the back.
Yeah, Final Destination 2 scarred an entire generation. Yep, for sure.
Yep. That scene and the one where he falls asleep on the tarmac, and remember that one?
No, which one was it?
That might have been 2. He either falls asleep on the tarmac or falls asleep in the terminal before his plane takes off, and he's like, yo, the plane's going to blow up, and they're like,
That's the first one.
Oh, it is? And then he's like watching it from the terminal and the fucking airplane blows up. And I was like, oh my.
I think the first one's the plane crash. The second one is the log highway incident. And then the third one is like the roller coaster that flies off the tracks.
Oh,
I love
God.
All those movies. Unabashedly love the Final Destination movies. So anyway, Tarot kind of reminds me of that. I also think Tarot was a Boston movie, if I remember the trailer correctly. So that's always kind of neat.
It's spelled T-A-R-O-U-G-H.
That will then go into our
that's good.
That will then go into our 1,000th movie, Fall Guy. And then after that, I have a ticket to see Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which I'm very excited for.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Please.
What does Should I Go See It and The Life of Bill George look like after 1K? We on to the next game? We on to 2K? Like what are you doing? You taking some time off? You gonna travel? Like what
no,
is this?
Oh God, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
I'm just wondering.
No, because of my push to get to 1K, I think I'm on pace this year to beat last year and have a new best year, maybe even hit 100 reviews in 1 year.
Whoa.
Because I had to push the pace to get to the 1,000 earlier on than I normally might. So no, I think it's full steam ahead as usual. I just don't have to plan it as much as I am right now to hit the 1,000. I'll just go see things as I want to see things. But the show goes on.
AJ, when Tom Brady was asked which Super Bowl was his favorite, his answer famously was the next one.
The next one.
And that is the attitude that our Bill George brings.
I love that.
Every day when he
Boys,
gets out of bed.
It's so good to be back. I am probably going to go puke. I ate an entire barbecue chicken pizza with extra red onions and pineapple for dinner. And the heartburn is like I swallowed Mordor itself.
Wow. Pineapple on the pizza.
Pineapple
a topic
on
that we
the,
don't even have time to get into,
pineapple
but that could
on
be its
the
own
barbecue
podcast.
Chicken pizza. Yep. We're in it.
Delicious.
On to 1K. Take us away.
Thank you for listening to the Should I Go See It podcast. Please make sure to follow on Instagram and submit your questions for the live event at Should I Go See It.